Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, sister. Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord. If you take away the P, you get raised. And that's what we must do. Raise the Lord that's in us. Let that divine spirit move through us. Learn to harmonize with yourself and nature. Then and only then can you say, praise the Lord.
Praise the name.
Call him Jesus, call him Buddha, call him Allah, call him Olodumare, call him Yahweh, call him Jehovah, call him God. It doesn't matter what or who you're calling, he's just a force of nature, like the wind and the rain, like the sun and the moon, like a tree and a flower. Even though we say he, it's really about she, Mother Nature. Learn to meditate under a tree and pray anywhere under the sky. She's a lovely and giving mother, and if you have faith, she'll give you whatever you need.
I just wanna praise his name. I just wanna praise him every day. I just wanna praise him. Praise his name. I just wanna praise him every day, every day. I just wanna praise him.
But many of us are weak when it comes to faith. Many of us don't believe in ourselves or what's around us. So we give our burdens to the Lord and hope that he'll understand and make our road a little easier to travel. But like it's been written, faith without work is dead. Many of us are dying because we don't believe.
We don't believe.
We don't believe in ourselves.
We don't believe.
We don't believe in our deeds.
We don't believe.
We don't believe in the God in us. We were made whole. We were not made incomplete. Whatsoever is outside of us is in us. And what's in us is outside. What we've been taught and what we feel. Wish no one harm. Be encouraging every single day. Uplifting when others try to bring you down. Though frowns may abound, bring a smile. It's medicine when you're sincere. Poison when you are not. Praise the Lord. Put him on a pedestal, but make sure he's down to earth. Praise the Lord by helping others. Praise the Lord by telling yourself the truth. Praise the Lord, and he will provide you with the proof that miracles still happen. Because we are miracles unto ourselves in our love and caring for every living thing is always saying, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. The struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer, right?
Yeah.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mitch Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over.
Mr. Jackson, sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see you today. Get him where it hurts.
Starring Gary Dorden from TV CSI.
This is the military, David.
Free the land. Revolutionary grievance. I'm a little on the weather, but welcome to another edition of Jordan U.S. Radio, where our goals are fivefold. I'm your host, B-Minus Secure. Our goals are to eradicate partial illiteracy among new African prisons. 2, to eradicate cultural ignorance from our new African prisons. 3, to transform the criminal mentality to new African mentality. 4, to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of new African communities. 5, to prepare a new African prison for release, produce a new African city of them. And our overall goal is to transform the whole entire prison Dutch slave complex into the prison system that eventually learns to educate the men, so their brothers and sisters can come to society and prepare the people need by building institutions and programs that sanctuate the new African nation. Before I bring in our guest tonight, I'd like to go to events that happened in history during this week. On January 21st, 1830, in Portsmouth, Ohio, New Africa was forcibly deported by order of city officials. In 1854, Nat Turner, known as Deadwood Dick, a popular Western cowboy boy. Also, during the day 1824, Osei, Tutu, Kamima, and Ashanti won battle against Britain at Atumaku, Ghana. In 1879, the Zulu defeated British at a battle in South Africa. In 1906, Willa Brown, the first New African woman to earn a commercial pilot license, was born. In 1948, U.S. Senator James Eastman of Mississippi, for all the segregationists, successfully blocked the passage of a federal anti-election bill. In 2001, Teddy John Heath, former Panther and a former member of New African Panther 21, died of cancer in prison. On January 22nd, 1793, Benjamin Banneker helped with the layout of Washington, D.C. In 1800, Nat Turner, slave revolt leader in Virginia, was born. In 1860, the African-American Episcopal Zion Church was founded. In 1883, U.S. Supreme Court of U.S. versus Harris limits congressional authority to criminalize racial terrorism, including violent acts by the Ku Klux Klan. In 1891, the Lodge Bill was called for federal supervision of U.S. elections and banned in the Senate after a Southern filibuster. In 1942, Fort Jim Benson revival opened at the Majestic Theater on Broadway with Todd Duncan and Anne Brown in the leading roles. In 1935, Sam Cooke, songwriter and performance board. In 1992, Silent Mugabe, freedom fighter in Zimbabwe, died to the wife of Robert Mugabe. On January 23rd, 1915, began the armed rebellion in Malawi against British imperialists. In 1943, Duke Ellington, Black, Brown, and Beige, won the first successful extended jazz composition premiere at Carnegie Hall. Ellington said the 57-minute long work was a tone parallel to the history of American Negro. In 1957, Ku Klux Klan member was Willie Edward Jr., a New African man, jumped to death from a bridge in Montgomery, Alabama. In 1962, demonstrations against discrimination in off-campus housing stays at University of Chicago. In 1963, PIGC launched armed struggle against Portuguese imperialism. In 1976, Paul Robeson died in Philadelphia at the age of 77. In 1977, Roots TV series, miniseries, premieres on NBC, ABC. On today's date, January 24, 1879, a white mob accused of Ben Daniel, a New African man, of theft for trying to spend a $50 bill in Arkansas and lynching him along with his two sons. In 1874, Arthur A. Schomburg, historian, bibliophile, the archive was born. 1885, Martin Luther King, politician, a pioneer with black nationalists, died in Wilberforce, Ohio at the age of 72. In 1987, 20,000 new African and white marchers staged massive protest march in Forsyth County, Georgia. In 1993, Thurgood Marshall, the first new African Supreme Court judge, died in Bethesda, Maryland at the age of 84. On January 25th, 1890, the National African American League, a pioneer African protest organization, was founded in Chicago. In 1938, Elder James, a world-winning singer, was born. 1942, a white mob in Sixth Missouri, adult Cleo Wright, a new African man, accused of assaulting a white woman for jail, dragged her behind a car, and set some on fire in front of two new African churches as service led off. In 1995, Kenneth Chernow, named American Express Vice Chairman, highest position held by new African and white corporate setting today. On January 26, 1863, as far as the rise demand for emancipation and a proposed bill that would have required the president to use new African troops, the War Department authorized the Massachusetts governor to recruit new African troops. The 55th Massachusetts volunteer was the first new African regiment recruited in the North. 1870, Congress admitted Virginia to the Union on condition that it would never change the Constitution to disenfranchise new Africans. 1922, dire anti-legislation bill passed the House by a vote of 230 to 119, but was killed in the Senate by a filibuster. In 1911, John Colborne, he was a civil rights activist. He led the Montgomery Improvement Association in Alabama, spearheaded a 381-day bus boycott. In 1935, Ivan Sturm, scholar, author, was born in Guyana. 1944, Angela Davis, activist, author, professor, born in Alabama. In 1970, in Evans versus Abbey, the Supreme Court holds a Georgia court decision to close rather integrate Macon's Bakersfield Park with Senator Augusta Bates created for white people only. It was just in 1970. Okay. On January 27, 1865. The first Southern New African paper to close the color of miracle powder. 1869, William Mary Cook, composer boy. 1939, Mary Anderson died, youth of Constitution Hall, a racist daughter of the American Revolution. In 1959, the MNC, led by Patrice Lumumba, defeated Belgian colonialism. In 1961, soprano Leontine Price debuted at Metropolitan Opera. In 1972, gospel singer Mahalia Jackson, who moved gospel to the mainstream, died at the top of the age of 60. In 1992, U.S. Supreme Court limited reach of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. In 1974, Minnesota Prisoner Union Format Steel War. And one more thing that occurred on Monday, January 22nd, current New Haven political prisoner, Elder Satawa Natambo Jama, was granted compassionate release after doing like 40 some years in prison. You know, he'd be granted release within the next 30 days. Okay, those are the events that happened in history during this week. I thank everybody who's been joining our broadcast in 2014. I thank everybody who's currently educating themselves in the community, respect for whether they're families and making a difference for themselves or whether for the people. At this time, I'd like to welcome our guest onto the show tonight, Sister Anaka Annette. Freelance, so how you doing?
Peace and liberation, brother. I'm doing amazing today. How are you?
I'm doing well, so I'm doing well. I'm I'm in the weather a little bit, but I'm doing well inside that. First of all, thank you for coming to our platform to share your knowledge where I'm standing. Thank you for working in the past, present, and future. And this time, I would like you tell us about yourself, so you know exactly who's talking. Tell me a little about yourself, the background, where you're from, and, you know, a little bit about yourself before we jump into this.
Okay. Well, let me first say I hope you feel better. I know how that feels, for real, so get better. And
appreciate it, sir.
The correct pronunciation of my name is Annaka. However, like,
Annaka, okay.
I really admire people for, you know, always trying. But name is Annaka. I am from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And I always like to start with saying that I'm a mother first. I'm a mother of two children. I have a 4-year-old son. His name is Zabali. And my daughter is 8, and her name is Zadie. I'm a community organizer. I do some writing also, like in the form of investigative journalism or anything really, you know. Writing is just like really like my biggest expression. And poetry also. I love poetry. I love spoken words. And I love raising awareness about a lot of things, that happen locally that a lot of times people just, you know, conveniently glance over or don't really understand.
Listen, go ahead. Listen.
Okay. So I've worked with a couple of organizations. Right now, the work that I do is mostly centered with the bookstore, which is called Wisdom Artifacts. Wisdom Artifacts started back in, I actually started in in our headquarters, which is located on the island, which is East Winston. These are like my roots. I grew up in East Winston. East Winston is very historical within itself. It's a predominantly Black community. It's been shifting a little bit here. However, I decided that, you know, the inspiration of wanting to, and really the need of, you know, as you expressed when you first came on air, is to eradicate, you know, illiteracy, you know, in our communities, you know, especially starting with our children. So I opened up, it was Asiatic Artifacts. I've recently changed the name to Wisdom Artifacts. But planted right at Herb's Bargains. Herb's Bargains is a really the last black-owned store in Western Salem. It's owned, someone I look at as a father. His name is Muhammad Herb. Herb is like 83 years old. He's still going. He's still motivated. He still got a lot of inspiration. And, yeah, you know, he does things a certain type of way. And I said, what other place to start with than at Herb's Bargain? So I started there, and I was doing some reselling of, you know, black literature that's going to really spark the African mind to, you know, reclaim self, you know, and we have to be able to, you know, start with our children also. But, you know, a lot of times people just, you know, they say, oh, I don't care about the adult. I don't care about the adult. I don't, you know, ain't no saving them. We all about the children. However, like, the adults also used to be children also. So it's really about reaching the family in whatever way is possible and necessary. So East Winston really needed a place of refuge for that. You want me to keep going? Because
okay.
I can keep talking.
You keep going.
I can keep talking.
Yeah, you can keep going. I will ask you a couple of questions in a minute. Go ahead.
Okay. And it's been very introspective, being that, you know, it's very easy to, you know, read books, you know, recite books, recite the knowledge in them. However, it's another thing, you know, when we learn how to collectively, you know, use the knowledge to be able to, you know, put it into some action in our daily lives, you know, spending time with our, learning who we are, who our people are, which is most important. Like, that's the foundation, you know, the foundation is knowing who we are, where we come from, you know, the greatness of, you know, African leadership, black leadership, whatever, you know, what people want to identify as. Like, it's just a representation of us that, you know, we have to be able to return to, which is culture, you know. And right now we live in a society right now that destruction has really taken place of the building, even though it's out here, but as far as like collectively, you know, we have to be able to reclaim that. You know, we have to always start with, you know, knowledge itself, because really, true indeed, knowledge itself is just in simple form. It's like the highest form of, you know, self-actualization. So, like, if you're aware of the things, if you're aware that, okay, I'm thinking, I'm not really thinking of an African mind, or I'm not really thinking collectively, because that's just something that we were not taught. Like, we still, as grown-ass people, we out here still learning stuff that, like, you know, we should have known when we was children. You know, however, you know, there's a lesson in it all, but, you know, this is why we do have to plant those seeds in the children, because it's important for it to follow them so that they know who they are, so nobody else can tell them who they are.
Okay. I have a few questions for you, right? You spoke about your night, Annika, right? Annette. What exactly does that mean?
Annika Annette means she who elevates her community through kindness, encouragement, and inspiration.
And what language is that all those words?
You said what language are those words?
Yes.
It's really like comedic. However, like, you know, that name was really given to me, you know, through a very spiritual connection. And, you know, I've shed many sets of skin. So, like, I'm still growing, you know, like, I'm actually going back to being referred back to as, like, my actual government name, which is Jaquay Perkins, because I feel like that's just, like, the foundation.
Okay, I understand that. I know what actually inspires you to create wisdom artifacts? And how important is it for us to have our all new African own bookstores?
That's a good question. The inspiration for Wisdom Artifact came from really a need, you know, as far as, and I'm not trying to just limit it to like a Winston thing, the East Winston thing. However, because I'm a grassroots organizer, like I'm right here in the same community I grew up in, because it was intentional when I started seeing things changing around the community that were not of our culture, you know, things that are, you know, happening in our local government, you know, all type of other things. I just knew that, you know, I just started to see our culture be destabilized in the area. So on top of that, you know, we were having a lot of meetings up at Herb's Bargains. And, you know, we was like, you know, everybody was trying to figure out, okay, like, what do you have to, you know, bring to the table as far as, you know what I'm saying, headquarters. And I was just like, need a bookstore, you know what I'm saying? And then just quite naturally, you know, because I'm a organizer, I'm like, okay, if there's some type of program that can, you know, be birthed out of, you know, the bookstore and think tank, this could, you know, basically act as a catalyst to the community for, you know, children, families, to be able to, you know, learn things. First of all, we learning about each other, you know, getting closer, talking more, you know, really getting back to that collective feel and, you know, learning about people we ain't never heard about. You know, I'm still learning about people that I have never heard about in history. And, you know, I just started noticing how a lot of children only knew about, and this is like no disrespect or discredit to, you know, these great people, but as far as Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks, you know, because this is what, like, we're taught in, you know, in the school system, you know, the most non-threatening approach to justice is, you know, always forced at us, you know, as if there weren't so many other black leaders out here that set the tone for liberation, you know. And so I was just like, okay, we need more self-awareness about, like, who we are. So I don't have to say the inspiration just came from really the need, you know, the literacy, you know, what Jawanza Kanjufu always says, like, you know, the de-education of the children, you know, because they grow into adults.
Indeed. It's one of the Kapunzu is one of our great social scientists. You know, understand that you got community think tank, right? What exactly is a community think tank, and what is its function?
So the community think tank of Wisdom Artifacts could be a mixture of things. It's a learning portal. The learning portal of this is non-judgmental. You know, nobody that's in the space is coming in as superior or inferior to anybody. We all should, you know, be able to practice humility in these types of spaces because, you know, I use popular education, which is something, popular education is basically ways that people come together to build, you know, innovative ways, new ways of thinking, really talking about things that we don't really, you know, we don't really get to talk about because we always in the state of survival. So it's really like a very logical approach to how we use our knowledge, things that we learn, how we use the lessons in history, the failures, the successes in order to, you know, be with each other and come up with ways to move forward with each other. Or people just get left behind. And I ain't trying to say it like that, but I mean, to be honest, like, you know, we don't want anybody left behind, but, you know, it's all about self-determination. And we have to be able to learn these things because, like, this is a part of our culture that we've, like, you know, been disconnected from. I mean, we've always connected to it, but, you know, kind of just being destabilized and, you know, beat out of us.
True indeed. You know, historically, right, Winston Salem had a Black Panther Party chapter there during the 60s and 70s, right? You know, and I understand, I know one saying the Black Brother Party was heavy on the aspect of reading books, right? Okay. Now, from that perspective, right, do you say a Black Panther Party books at your bookstore? And what is the significance of those books if you do sell them there? How would it significant to you in Western Salem?
That's a great question. Now I do have books that definitely are about, you know, the Black Panther Party. However, there is like another, how can I put this? Okay, well, let's put it like this. So I was down in Herb for a little bit with the bookstore, and then I transitioned another year to a coffee shop by the name of Other Sons. And Other Sons Coffee Shop, which is in East Winston, is owned by a Black Panther. Well, I don't know if she would say ex-Black Panther or not, because once you a Black Panther, you always a Black Panther. But her name is Miss Hazel Mack. She owns the coffee shop, and I put the bookstore in there, and she has a gallery space inside of there where she uses, you know, the Black Panther Party and a whole other movement called the Local 22 movement that happened. It was like a big strike, basically, as far as like how like the unions had started for at R.J. Reynolds. But she uses the portal as a space to bring children up there to teach them about, you know, the history behind the Black Panther Party. They have a historical marker down the road that students, a lot of students from, you know, Winston-Salem State University, they come down, and Larry Little, who's also a part of Black Panther Party, he also was a professor at Winston-Salem State University, you know, just making sure, just collaborating with, you know, the greats of the community that are still here, still around, still giving us guidance, because they really still be around here giving us guidance. So, yeah, just using them as, you know, as that portal of the learning spaces as well.
Okay. I understand you identify as a grassroots organizer, right? For the people who are listening, mm-hmm. listening in the future, what exactly is that from your perspective?
A grassroots organizer is someone who, let's see, how can I put this? Grassroots basically means, like, if you could think about a root, you know, a root of a tree, the roots are implanted in the ground and they provide structure for the tree. And, you know, the root basically acts as the catalyst, you know, the one that activates the community to come together to do community-led initiatives, someone who knows the community, who has great standings with the community, know what the people need, know what they don't need. And if we don't know, we figure it out by making connections, you know, with our neighbors, you know, and we organize, like, airtight in the community where we serve and where we, you know, we want to effect change. That's the most, like, simplest way that I could put it. You know, it could come in a form as political movement, which is something that I'm always interested in. I'm always interested into the political liberation of it all. Yeah, I'm going to just say it like that. And really just one thing I love about being a grassroots organizer, just me. I'll just say me. Like, not ain't even got to be a title. Just who I am is someone who just listens. Like, I listen to the people. I listen to the ones that do not be listened to like that, or, you know, easy to walk past them every day, you know, not really thinking, like, you know, or asking questions like, who is this person? You know what I'm saying? Like, just making those connections with people, because that's what people really remember the most. Like, it ain't about what you did for them, or if you gave them a dollar this day, or you didn't give them a dollar this day. Like, they remember the impact you had on their mood when they was feeling at their lowest. And being able to use that energy to, you know what I'm saying, make some type of impact collectively, because a lot of us be feeling like that out here.
Understood, you know. We must educate those who are undereducated, so we can educate the liberal. What does the word wisdom artifacts mean to you?
Wisdom artifacts. Okay, coming with the questions now. A wisdom artifact to me means. The wisdom And I walk with a lot of lessons, and, like, those lessons really come in many forms, but, you know, wisdom just don't always be, like, you know, what women really have to offer, like, what us as black women have to offer out here, you know, the wisdom. We don't always, and this is not to exclude, like, black men, because, you know, the black men, you know, always provide the knowledge. You know, they're going to always provide that, and we're going to follow through with it. It's an interdependency, you know, amongst us. So just me thinking about that, wisdom is just basically the jewel of being able to use our actions to move forward. Like, whatever we get from whatever that is, just life period. It can be just as simple as, just gaining a different perspective on life, you know, unlearning a lot of things that we've been taught, you know. So just moving with that just helps us, you know, gain clarity on how we really need to move out here and using our knowledge around us to do that as well, you know, because it brings forth, you know, standing.
Okay. What about the artifact?
Artifact would be like, a lot of times, you okay, baby? Thank you, baby. This is my daughter right here. She said I'm doing great. artifact.
Okay. Salute.
I think it'll be like a fossil, you know. Like kind of like when you find a fossil and you kind of got to chip away at the rock in order to find, you know, the part that, you know, where you can see where life was, you know. And it just kind of reminds me of culture, really, like who we are as people are, like, we're artifacts. Because, to be honest, they projected that we'll be extinct as a people. Like, they didn't think we was going to make it out here. Like, that's still... That's still a mystery to people. Like, damn, we thought we did everything to them. You know what I'm saying? Stopped them from getting housing. We done locked all their men up. We done made all the women pendant. You know what I'm saying? That's just, you know what I'm saying, their level of thinking. You know, so I feel like just us, after everything we done went through, like, we around here walking like artifacts.
Interesting, you know. Historically, you know, we the mother and the father of civilization. We're the ones that built everything in America, from mathematics, the science, the philosophy, the geometry, so forth, so on, all over the world, right? So that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell me two of your favorite books, and why are they your favorite books? And what books would you recommend to people who are just starting to read?
Good question. I would have to say my favorite book happens to be, that's a hard one.
You don't have to say one. I said, what are your two favorite books? And why are your two favorite books? And what books would you recommend people start just start reading?
I really like the autobiography of Assata Shakur. That one is like super action-packed, and she happens to be, like, one of my favorite radicals. But, yeah, it's very interesting how, you know, the book even starts. You know, it really just captivates you because you are basically feel like you're holding hands with her during these treacherous days of, you know what I'm saying, after, you know, her laying up in the hospital after these allegations of her killing the sheriff and stuff. So it was, like, super intense, you know. And I really like From Plan to Planet by Don L. Lee. I recommend that one.
Yeah, Donnell Lee, you know what I'm saying, a.k.a. Baba Haki Mahabudi, the founder of Third World Press. He's a publisher, a poet also.
Okay. Yeah, that book is powerful. I mean, I think it made me so, it really inspired me because I was working a corporate job. I was working at the post office, and I just remember how I was feeling, and I was just like, damn, like, it just seemed like it was always something political going on in there, you know what I'm saying? And I kept trying to figure out ways to, you know, like, what I actually wanted to do with my life. You know, I didn't want to work there anymore because I just didn't feel like my spirit, you know, was for it, and I finally had gained the courage to, like, quit one year, like, back in 2017, 2018, and that book really provided so much confirmation. I mean, that book damn near changed my life, because one thing that I took away from that I'll just never forget is, like, how he expresses and explains how, you know, we've just been ingrained with this capitalistic nature of, like, okay, working 7 days a week, working, you know, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday schedule of work. But he, like, you know, that's okay, you know, when people have to do what they have to do. However, we still have to be able to find time to actually work. Like, our idea of work should always be aimed at what we are doing to elevate our communities. Like, that is the most important thing about work. What work you put in your community. That job is there. Like, that's fine. However, how are you putting in the work in your community to change that idea of, you know, thinking so individualized or, you know, capitalistic, really? But that really just, that helped me. It did. That whole book helped me.
I never read the book, but I'm familiar with a lot of his work. I read a lot of his book, but I never read that one per se. So I'm familiar with who he is, what he got going on. But, okay. I understand that you write poetry, right? Could you share some of your poetry with us, if you mind?
I knew you was going to do that to me. Okay. Sure. Let's see. I'm going to share, I don't know if you want me to share just like a little bit of it, or you want me to say the whole thing, or what. It's not too long.
Go ahead.
Okay. This one is actually called Amazing Disgrace. I forgot if I want to say that one or... Yeah, I'm gonna do Amazing Disgrace. Okay. Was blind, but now I see that the red, white, and blue you love to pledge allegiance to is a blatant flag symbolizing for me to kiss your ass for the 400 years my ancestors spent. Bent over long rows of tongue, rung of blood, if culture slipped off the essence of the black woman's lips, genitals ripped for guinea pig experiment. Amazing disgrace. And you got the nerve to sing that song in my face, written by slave trader John Newton, describing being lost at sea while raping ancestors that look just like you and me. The stench of flesh has left us traumatized to the point of having to internalize our pain and suffering at the hands of domestic terrorism, leaving us codependent in social media's algorithm, spinning 360 degrees in America's bloodshed capitalism. But the blonde hair, blue eyes got the masses hypnotized from being Europeanized, from when the white man seized the land, psychological program, and destabilized our culture and let these vultures redefine urban farming, all while disregarding. We taught them how to grow food, regurgitated. We're tired of these lessons being circulated back to us as if we ain't built this whole shitstorm of America that they say is so great. I bet you hate the fact that I once was lost, but now I'm found. And that's Amazing Disgrace.
Okay. I like that. I have another question for you, right? What does the name George Jackson mean to you? When you hear that name, what does it mean to you? What does it signify, George Jackson?
George Jackson signifies, and don't get me wrong, I'm still learning, always learning, but George Jackson, you know, I think about the book Blood in My Eyes. And I think about how, you know, fed up he was, you know, with the standards of, you know, the prison system and, you know, having to, you know, witness his brother, you know, go through it. And, you know, I think about just radical organizing and, you know, he's just very respected for that and how he made sure he published that book before all of that went down. Like, that's just a level of militant thinking that, like, to be honest, I just admire.
And then, I know we got, like, 5 minutes left with your time limit. What are your final thoughts you want to leave with?
One of my final thoughts.
And also, you can leave information for your bookstore as well, so people can follow your bookstore and shop with you. You know, you can do that as well.
Okay, appreciate that. I think my final thought would be to, like, no matter what. You know, I feel like people should practice free will and to continue to practice awareness as far as self, and know that knowledge of self is the only way to, you know, redeem myself from all of this destruction that's going on. Building with your neighbors, who your neighbors is, who your people is, who your ancestors is. Like, where y'all come from? Like, what walk of life you from? Like, seriously, like, all of that will be able to tell you so much about yourself. Who is our true leaders out here? Who is our true leaders out here? Because, like, it's a lot of faking going on out here, you know, and, you know, I'm not trying to sound, you know, spiteful and trying to, you know, call nobody out or nothing, but, you know, this really not for play when you saying that you want to liberate the people, you know, however, do not really understand who our real enemies are out here. You know, like a lot of times we be our own enemies, even though we really know why we in this position that we're in, to where we're battling all this fucking self-hate and self-blame. But, like, we really have to understand, like, there is no in-between. There is no in-between this. You either on that side or you on the other side, or you just a casualty. So I really encourage people to become more aware, of what's going on locally in your backyard, in your neighborhood, in your city, what's going on, who your DA, who, even outside of all of that, who in your community is ready to build. Don't worry about who not supporting, who not helping, all of this. Figure out the ones who can actually get along and work. Just get it in. And if you want to contact or reach out to me, I actually deactivated my Facebook some months ago. So right now I am actually on Instagram at Wisdom Artifact. Wisdom is spelled with a Z, so it's WIZD as a dog, OM underscore artifact, and that's with an X at the end. So, yeah, let's build.
Okay. That's it. So you got something to say? That's it.
What you say, brother? I didn't catch that.
I was saying that. Do you have anything else to say, or what that is?
Well, I definitely want to give a big shout out to you, and you know, really giving thanks, you know, for, you know, giving me this, you know, introduce Wisdom Artifacts and myself, and to build with you. I love the work that y'all are doing, and I'm going to make sure that I stay, you know, engaged with you all, and I'm just always open to build.
Okay. Again, I want to thank you for coming to our platform, sharing our little understanding. Thank you for working there in the past, present, and the future. And I'm going to make success be upon you all your endeavors. And it may continue to be the best version of yourself, of becoming the best version of yourself. You know, coming up, March 29th, March 31st, we have a new affirmation day taking place in Dr. John Clark Town, located in Columbia, Georgia, at the Embassy, 2503 Dawson Street, Columbia, Georgia, 31903. To find out more about this event, you can check our social media page up on the Creating Republic Africa on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can also go on our website, which is www.pg-rna.com. You also can go on Eventbrite and type in New Affirmation Day 56. Also, for anyone who has any close comrades, social, alone by enemy lines, who are interested in educating themselves, look at Georgia University. Our website is www.georgiauniversity.gdu.com. We also have a Facebook, Twitter, Instagram page up on the Georgia University as well. And also for the people that listened here earlier, one of our comrades had just received compassion relief. His name is Elder Satawa Natambo Jama, who's a new African national, conscious citizen of the Republic of Africa, and a new African political prisoner, who will be released within a month time for after 40-some years in prison. You know, and with that, I'm going to say, long live the resistance, long live the guerrilla, long live the African independent movement. Free to last.
nothing we can't do. Our love is too strong. Our legacy is too long. No one can prevent us from fulfilling our dreams, no matter how hard it seems. We are miracles and blessings for everyone. We are the warmth and radiance from the sun, shining everywhere we go, in the city, in the towns. We still wear the crown. With or without money, we make cloudy days sunny. We have a rich chocolate love with blessings from above. Even when we wallow in the mire, there is still a desire to inspire a fire that can be felt, that can be touched, just because we feel. You all alone in the world, yeah, it's been hard. The battle wounds of your memory remind you that you've been scarred, hurt, been beat down for so long. You forgot your worth, your value, your value. Where you at looks nothing like where you come from. Lost and gone, was inspired, then shot fired. We fire out shots to deal with the pain. Our spirit has been drowned out, but the spears we pour into our veins. There's more strength in the links of our chain. Our bond can escape the devil's clutches. We sprint in place, but you can't run on crutches. The struggle is real when you believe in it, but I believe in me, you, y'all. Love heals all, that's why we won't fall. Fight the good fight, but mouths will smile bright like the heavy street lights. Pray for me, I'll be praying for you. You're never alone, I'll be right here waiting for you.